Welcome to today's episode of the Get Out Media Podcast. We're going to talk today about working in the heat because it is summertime here in, you know, the lower 48. We cannot count Alaska, though, you know, they'll say they'll get hot up there. But it's hot. It's hot everywhere. I think everyone is reporting high record temperatures this summer, and apparently it's going to get worse. So we thought this would be the right time to kind of give some hot tips, no pun intended, on how to stay cool while working this summer, or even partaking in activities like you saw in the video of me hiking yesterday, and it was 100 degrees and 90% humidity. It was hot. So Spencer over here, who spends the entire time outside, unlike Billy and I, who actually work our good old inside our AC desk jobs now, because we did too much of it in the military. So Spencer, I mean, I just got to ask, bro. Yes. I mean, I see some of your really unique gadgets and tricks and stuff you get, and dude, what's like your, I guess you say your number one thing?
Number one tip for staying cool.
Oh yeah.
In the miserable heat of summer. I'm going to say find shade.
Yep.
Because you got to get out of that sun, especially the closer to the equator you are. You just catch that direct sunlight, and like, y'all can see my face, but the listeners can't. And it is just beet red from being in the sun. And I wasn't even in the direct sun. I was in the shade today.
Yeah, you look like a tomato.
Dude, yeah, I feel like one. I feel like a roasted tomato.
Well, not to mention in your line of work, you work with glass, which literally reflects the sunlight and the heat in every which direction. So you're constantly getting blasted from above, from right at you, from behind you, from below you.
Yeah. Yeah. The job I was on today, so I work with pools for those that don't know. And the job I was on today, James, you've seen it. It has that white, I guess it's like marble, deck, like pool deck. And man, it just reflects the heat and the sunlight.
Oh, it is super bright.
Real bad.
Beautiful pool.
Yeah.
Honestly, why are we calling it a pool?
It
it's
is.
Like, it's a water park. It's like personal water park. Yeah. Yeah. No, it is bright.
The thing's stone. Massive. Yeah, it's a $2 million pool and counting. So yeah, fortunately he had his giant fans going, his giant ceiling fans going. So that really helped. I was able to work in the shade for most of the day at least. So that really helped.
Okay, so you were on the upper deck by the big canopy that they got on the, what would that be, the east side of the pool?
Yeah, that'd be the east side, and they call it a Vegas wall.
I have never heard of
that. I don't know
why,
but that's... Yeah, apparently that's a new thing with pools.
I want one.
So yeah, I was working up there.
I said, what's I that? Want one. This thing looked great.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I ought to send you some pictures. They're actually, they're filling the pool with water now, finally. Mm-hmm. So they got it plastered, polished, and they're going to start filling it up.
Nice.
Well, they were actually starting when I left.
So are they starting to do the murals yet for the Disney characters or no?
So it's in.
Oh, no kidding. They finally got it in?
Yep. Yep. It's the Mickey Mouse Fantasia, kind of where he's got his little wand thing. It's pretty cool looking, I guess, if you're into that.
Well, he's got a massive family.
I didn't.
A lot of kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't stick around too long to just stare at the pool. I was ready to get out of the heat.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, one of the things I love about this truck is a remote start. Start cooling that thing off. Man, because it was that truck. It's just sitting in the sun when I'm working. Man, it just bakes.
Oh, yeah.
Everything in there just gets hot. So not only is it a good idea to get yourself in the shade, but if you can park in the shade, that's always a plus. I've had food stay warm. Like I'll just put it up on my dash and that keeps my breakfast burritos nice and warm when I do bring food.
Cooking them.
But yeah, keeping my,
do what? Cooking them.
Yeah, basically. It's like a giant heat lamp, but yeah, I keep my icy breeze in the truck sometimes, which for those who don't know what that is, it's basically a cooler with a water pump and a fan built into it. and it just blows really cold air. So the water circulates through like a radiator, and then the fan draws air over the radiator and cools it really, really well, and then blows it out, which is just, it's a lifesaver, honestly. Sometimes I'll keep it in the truck just to keep, you know, get it cooled off a little bit. But a lot of times when I'm working, I'll have it blowing right on me.
Oh, yeah. No, we use it at the ranch. It was nice.
Yeah, that's probably tip number two is get some air movement.
Yep.
Whether it's fans or be somewhere where there's a breeze, find somewhere there's a breeze. If you can get some air movement, it's really going to help, because those hot, stagnant, humid days are miserable.
Oh, yeah. And I know Billy can be testament to this because he actually grew up out there. But some of the worst summers I ever dealt with were in East Texas, because that thick, dense pine trees do not let any wind come through them. And it is hot.
No, they don't. And then you got the humidity on top of that. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, yeah.
So I've learned one of my pro tips, because I say pro because I use it for my business. And for those that watch the teaser, they'll see my shirt. I'm always wearing cooling clothes.
Wow.
So in my business, I always use cooling clothes for like my work shirts and things like that. I use the cooling hats, cooling towels, you know, shorts that are going to be moisture wicking, things like that, just because you don't want to be sit there. I mean, you're going to sweat. It's inevitable, but if you can get moisture wicking and the kind of the cooling clothes that are out now, man, that's a big plus. I was literally just dripping wet all day from the sweat, but whenever the breeze would blow or whenever I would stand in front of a fan, man, it actually felt nice and cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a huge believer and a fan of cooling clothes. Yep. Not necessarily brand specific, but just in general.
Yeah, like, well, you're the one that turned me on to the 32 degrees. And I love them. I love their clothing. And I use them a lot, like, when we've done these last two deep sea trips. Because even sometimes out there in the open ocean, there's not a breeze. I think that last time we went, it was just stagnant. And those came handy. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. And they block sunlight. Yep. So if you get the hoodie, you can throw it over your head and keep your noggin out of the sun.
Yep. Because skin cancer is a real thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Actually, I just had another skin cancer spot removed a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
On my arm. I had it removed last year and it came back. So I think they got it this time.
There you go.
But I've had like five or six of them removed on my head.
Yeah, no, luckily for me now, the current job that I do, because for y'all that know, I've mentioned in the intro, you know, I work in the car business, you know, service advisor, and the new facility that I'm in, luckily, I don't even have to go outside anymore, unless it's to pull up a vehicle for a customer. Like, everything's internal. Yeah. The bays are internal, the drive's internal where customers pull up. So it's really nice. But prior to this, oh man, you're constantly walking into those bays and tin roofs, no matter how tall, how much shade they give you. I don't know what it is about tin. It almost acts like a microwave when that heats up in the summer sun. Because it is even super hot in those bays. I know a lot of the technicians, they buy the, what's the name of those fans? I know, Spencer, you would know. The one that run on the water pump, the massive cooling fans.
Oh, the swamp coolers?
Yes, swamp coolers. Like, technicians actually spend their own money to buy those, because they don't buy like the monster ones, but they'll buy like that decent size, like 4 foot by 4 foot one. And dude, they'll put their money into that and keep their bays cool, because in the summer heat, it gets really hot underneath the hood of a truck, and you see all kinds of neat little tricks that they do to try to stay cool.
Oh yeah, those things aren't cheap. They're a couple grand, but they do work really well, especially if you're going to be kind of stationary, like working in a shop. Yeah, they work really, really well. So what are you drinking over there? You staying hydrated?
Of course. I am actually drinking one of the electrolytes, but they spell it different so they can be different, you know?
Oh, electrolyte.
Is that what they call it? Electrolyte?
Let's call them electrolyte. It's got to be electrolyte, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like those. Have you tried the coconut one?
The coconut one is probably one of my favorites. And the cucumber lime. I actually really do like that.
Yeah, so I have in my half-gallon growler, whatever this thing's called, my insulated container, I have one of the cucumber lime and then two bottles of water. And it is delicious. Oh, yeah. So we were talking before we got started about that ratio.
Talk about the ratio, Spencer.
Which is funny because I had already mixed it when we talked about that. And then you just confirmed that that's kind of generally the good ratio that a lot of people go with. Is if you're going to be drinking like a Gatorade or some kind of electrolyte drink or, you know, a salt stick packet, if you're going to put any kind of electrolytes in your drink, I would always recommend, and I think it's generally pretty well recommended, do a ratio of 2-to-1 water to electrolyte drinks. Yep. So if you're going to drink a Gatorade, drink 2 bottles of water.
Yep.
For every Gatorade you drink.
Yeah. It's funny where I actually just heard that from, because I'll be honest, I may have heard it in the past, but it's been a long time, man. It was actually from my friend Matt, who works in the oil field, you know, here in South Texas. So he's constantly in the heat. Mm-hmm. That's where he spends 90% of his time.
Yeah.
Is directly in the heat over the top of a super, super hot, you know, Caterpillar engine that's running those rigs. And that's what he said. He said his hot tip that he wanted to make sure we said today was do not drink a bunch of electrolytes and not that water to go with it. He said, because too much of a good thing is still a bad thing. He's saying you can actually make it worse by just drinking Gatorade. So they were trained.
Yeah,
like you said, the 2-to-1. If you drink a full-size Gatorade, you need to essentially drink the equivalent of that two times over with water.
Yeah.
And so I was like, huh, never heard that before. So that was something that was really cool. And then on the note of obviously drinking and things like that, I know you and I talked about this when we were developing the outline, is limiting the amount of caffeinated drinks you drink during the day. Because I know you and I would do it occasionally, especially post-lunch where you're kind of a little lethargic because you just ate a big meal or something. We crack a form of energy drink, but I know some people kind of overdo it with the Monsters and the NOS and the Zions and all these different sports drinks that are out there. And it's not good for you because the first thing it does is it dehydrates you.
Yeah. Most caffeine drinks are going to be diuretics, so they're going to actually try to get your body to get rid of as much water as possible, and that's not really what you want because you need to be more hydrated, especially when you're sweating.
Yep. Sweating's a good thing. It's when you stop sweating, that's when you need to start, you know, figure out where you can go to cool off and get some fluids in you.
Yeah, immediately. Yep. If you stop sweating, if you get to the point where you stop sweating, you need to just stop whatever you're doing, find some shade, find some way to cool off.
Yep.
Because things are about to get real bad. Trust me, I have had a heat stroke before and it's awful.
Oh, yeah.
I literally slept for like 48 hours after it happened.
Yep. My dad.
Like 48 hours straight. I didn't even wake up.
No, my dad, you know, rest in peace. He had a bad one years ago. I think it was actually on a job site in Buda, Texas, where working all day, it was hot, and I guess he wasn't keeping it up. And he's also diabetic, which doesn't really help out much either. And going halfway up a ladder, and the next thing you know, he's waking up in the ambulance. He just reset, fell off the ladder, hit the ground. His right-hand man, Justin, immediately called 911, and they said when they got him to the hospital, they're like, you literally have no fluids. Like, your blood came out like molasses. So he took, apparently he took like 4 or 5 IVs before he could even go to the bathroom. He was that severely dehydrated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no joke.
Yep. And I know Billy, when you were over there in Syria, being a possible heat case was a every second occurrence for you over there. Cause I know when I was in the Horn of Africa, bro, they were dropping like flies. I don't know how many Marines I saw get the silver bullet from, you know, the good old corpsman trying to figure out how cooked they were.
Yeah, it was over there. It was rough. I mean, I was drinking half a case of water a day. Cause when you're full kit and you're out patrolling and, you know, or you got to go out and tinker around with something, it's,
not to mention that cannon tube is
hot. I mean, and you're in full kit the entire time. Like, there's no, I remember sleeping, like going hitting the rack, dude, and I'm in full kit.
And for guys, what he means by full kit is he's in full combat gear, Kevlar, which is your helmet that does not let heat escape at all. It cooks you. No. That gear cooks you.
Yeah, just like a hard hat.
No, but that was the one thing that they harped on a lot with us in the military, because we wore essentially a lot of gear that actually aided in the fact that you could get overheat quickly. And when they talk about like hydration and, you know, electrolytes and all that stuff, is a gallon of water a day is essentially what was like the minimum you needed to drink in those conditions that we were in. And I know it sounds crazy because you hear a lot of, you know, guys that go to the gym a lot, you know, runners, things like that. They say you need to drink a water a day because you just expel so much during your sweat. You're not even paying attention to how much you actually lose in water weight, you know, while you're out there working or if you're in country and deployments, you know, the military. So a gallon a day was like the minimum requirement, because even drinking a gallon a day when I was in the Horn of Africa, man, I'd be still feeling like I was dying. Still getting heat cramps, and I was chugging water. And it's just that heat, man, it gets you. And a lot, I've seen a lot of people on job sites, you know, my dad case in point, where they just don't pay attention to that stuff because they're so fixated on getting the job done. And the next thing you know, you're waking up in the back of an ambulance. You know, some serious stuff. This summer heat is not to be taken lightly at all.
No, it's not. Yeah, I'm actually working on gallon number 3 right now.
Jesus.
Like I said, I was literally just soaking wet all day because I was just sweating. Even with the cooling clothes and being under a giant fan and having another squirrel cage fan blowing on me, I couldn't dry off just because I was just sweating the whole time. Yep. So, yeah, gallon number 3 is I'm about 32 ounces away.
Yeah. And I know another thing that you like to do, Spencer, is you like to keep a lot of snacks on the job site, which I know a lot of people don't realize you actually do need to eat along with drinking water, because you can sit there and drink water all day, but if you don't take in any actual calories, you're actually going to dehydrate yourself. It's going to flush you out with the quickness. So what's like your little like your little snack pack, man? Because you had some good stuff, bro. Some protein bars, all kinds of stuff you used to keep on the job site.
Yeah, so I try to keep some kind of protein bar or just something that's going to be, you know, nutrient dense and filling. I keep those at least in the cooler in my truck, or I keep them handy. But I've gotten back on my intermittent fasting pretty hardcore. You know, I've kind of been lazy about it lately. But yeah, I actually don't eat during the day at all, even when I'm working now. And so I'm only eating at night. And so I'm, you know, about to finish my 3rd gallon of water. You know, I was out in the sun all day and working, sweating, but I haven't eaten anything since last night. And now that I've kind of gotten back into it and I feel fine, honestly, just because I've kind of trained and conditioned my body over, you know, years of doing this, but it doesn't affect me anymore, but I still keep something on hand just in case. Because if, you know, I do get hypoglycemic sometimes. It's not as bad anymore, but especially when I first started intermittent fasting, I would get hypoglycemic and you start to get like cold sweats and you start to get real fatigued and your brain just starts, I guess it just stops working. And so you got to have some kind of fuel. Not everyone. I mean, again, I've conditioned my body to do this for years. It's not something you could just do overnight.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, always keep some kind of caloric dense. Well, I said I was feeling fine, but my brain seems to be shutting down now. some kind of nutrient calorie dense snack. Keep it handy.
Yeah.
Or if you're used to eating throughout the day, if you're like a 6 meal a day kind of person, keep food handy.
Oh, dude. I love snacks. That's my problem. That's why I have to go to the gym and go on hikes, because I do like snacks.
That's why I started intermittent fasting, because I would snack all the time. And it was fine when I was like young and had good metabolism. But after I got older, I'm like, okay, I can't do that because I'm just going to store that weight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've also been doing this for a long time and I know my body and I know its limits and what works and what doesn't. And so for me, that's what works. But for most people, yeah, keep food handy.
Yep.
And eat during the day.
Yeah. Just be smart about it. I mean, I know in today's society, that's a very hard task.
Yeah. Well, the trick is like keeping healthy food handy.
Yes.
Because anyone can run down to a fast food joint and grab a double cheeseburger because they're hot and they're hungry and they think, oh, you know, I've been working a day. I can get a double cheeseburger with a large fry and a large Coke. And it's like, okay, well, you just blew 4,000 calories in one meal. And that's probably all you burned today. And you're still probably going to eat breakfast and you're still probably going to eat dinner and still probably going to eat snacks. Mm-hmm. And that's real fatty food and it's going to make you more lethargic throughout the day. So if you can pack a lunch, I always recommend that, especially just because it's easier to pack healthy food, right? You can meal prep, you can do, you know, healthier options than just going and getting fast food somewhere.
Well, not to mention like in your line of work and what Billy and I used to do in the military, you still had a job to do. You didn't have time to get lethargic and sleepy and go into a food coma. It's like we like to say all the time, you know, you had to stay energized. Yeah. So I know, like Billy, we used to keep a lot of like, you know, bananas and apples and stuff like that, because you get that just natural sugar, that quick boost of energy, obviously the replacement of vitamins, potassium, which are really important, especially for keeping water retention. Yeah, we would have like Fritos because it was just instant sodium, but you wouldn't like kill a whole, you know, family size bag of them. You just snack on the small little packs. Billy's like, yep, ate plenty of Fritos.
I would. Give me a bag of chili cheese Fritos and they will be gone.
Ooh, man, those are the best. I love them. No, but dude, right. If I eat a whole bag of those,
but I feel not, it's not something I want all the time.
Oh yeah, you can overdo it quickly with those, but they are good when you don't have them after a while.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I carried around was a couple of apples, a couple of bananas, and then the Fritos.
Oh, they were good. But it did help though, especially on rucks, especially when working out in the sun. Like what I used to do, being an amphibious assault vehicle mechanic, you could literally be in the middle of North Carolina. It could be 100 degrees outside, 100% humidity, and you just finished doing a 12-mile run in your AAV, and you're leaning over the top of the engine to work on a fuel pump. And, man, you are just dripping everywhere. And if you're not careful, you could really, really, really become a statistic very quickly. And like what I was referencing earlier within Africa, we had a lot of guys dropping like flies. When we first hit the beach of Djibouti, Africa, dude, Billy knows this. The Horn of Africa on an average day at the hottest time of the day is about 130 degrees, even in the wintertime. It's so close to the equator, it doesn't really drop too much. They don't really have a winter. And we hit in September, which anywhere in the northern hemisphere in September is typically the hottest time of the year. So real fill was 150. The actual temperature was 130. Yeah. We're in full gear because even though we're in Djibouti, Africa, Somalia is a hop, skip, and a jump away. So we still had a threat. And that's all we would even harp on the entire time is drink water, drink water, drink water, get fluids in, make sure you're eating. Like that's the big thing that all of us, you know, senior, you know, sergeant corporals had to do. But yet every 15, 20 minutes, dude, you would literally hear it. Corman, Corman. And he is just sprinting, dude. Because some guy just literally face planted in the rocks because it was just so easy. And every single one of us busted out in a heat rash because it was so hot. You know, it was bad.
Mm.
And so
heat rash,
dude, it's the worst.
That's the worst. That'll make a bad day. That will just ruin a day. Mm-hmm. And if you're already having a bad day because you're outside and you're working, you're sweating. Ooh, that will trigger me for sure.
Oh, dude, we got it super bad. And we had this guy and I wish I still saved the photo of his arm, but he had fallen asleep during the heat of the day because we were taking shifts and he had taken a nap. And when he woke up, he had his hand. I know the viewers can't see it, but he had his hand across his arms like this. When he woke up underneath where his fingers laid, it broke out in that rash and it literally looked like someone grabbed him and burned him. I told him, I was like, bro, that's creepy, bro. It looks like, the Hollywood films were like, the demon grabs the person and all it leaves is his mark. That's literally what it looked like, dude.
Yeah. The demon is the sun. So I imagine one thing y'all ran into in the military in these hot environments a lot was hot metal that's been sitting in the sun.
Yep.
And you just don't think about it sometimes. You go to put your hand on something and it'll roast you.
Oh yeah. Dude, there's so many times where I forget that the truck is made of metal and I will lean up on the bed mm-hmm. just to have a conversation at the end of a long day at work and burn the crap out of my yep. forearms, man.
Oh yeah.
Billy's over there like, done that once or twice.
Yeah.
And you don't learn.
Nope, it just slips your mind. You just lean over and next thing you know, your forearms are on fire.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that most of the new truck, or I guess most of the truck manufacturers have gone to the plastic tops for the bed yes. rails because they don't get as hot, even though they're black, but those old school trucks with the metal, just a metal body with no plastic over it. Dude, those are rough.
Oh, dude.
I've burned my armpits trying to reach into the truck to get something out of the bed. And you just get like that burn right across your chest and into your armpits. Yep. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the time, man. And the one thing that's rough. I hate is when you weren't paying attention, you left like your square. For y'all that don't know, you know, it doesn't look like a square. You know, you leave your square out and it was in the sun and you just reach to grab it because you finally needed it for the first time in the last hour and it just burns the hell out of your hand because it's solid metal. I know, Spencer, yeah. you like to use a plastic one, so, but the ones that my dad and my uncles always used, they were the metal ones. And boy, you grab that thing off a sawhorse, whoo, you got reminded quick it was in the sun.
And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I went to the plastic squares. Because I'm not doing any kind of like precision work with them, so I'm not too worried about them getting damaged or whatever. But yeah, they don't heat up in the sun like the metal ones do. And I carry a tent with me or a canopy, and I try to stay in the shade as much as possible. But sometimes I just can't do it.
Unfortunately.
Sometimes the job site just doesn't allow for it.
Yep.
And so I switched to plastic squares, and then all of my metal handled tools, like my T-handled Allen wrenches, things like that. If they didn't come with that rubber coating on them, I went to Lowe's or wherever and I bought that Plasti-Dip stuff and actually dipped them all in that coating so that I'm not having to reach down and grab bare metal.
Yeah, grabbing the hot tools.
And burn my hand.
Yep.
Yeah, I hated that, man. And sometimes it only takes like 5 minutes of them being in the sun and they're going to be hot enough to burn.
Oh yeah. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the one thing we were talking about, you know, working as a technician or in Billy's case, working as a cannoneer, you know, you're around things that are literally, not only are they getting heated up by the sun, but they're getting heated up from explosions like engine, that's internal combustion. It's mm-hmm. producing a lot of heat. The gun tube.
Oh yeah.
You touch it, you're going to lose your skin. It's going to take the top two layers off immediately. You're dealing with mm-hmm. a lot of hot objects. So being cognizant of what you're working on in the heat is key because you can easily get reminded why you shouldn't have done what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the worst one was, so when I switched over to MLRS, which is the lazy version of artillery, you're shooting rockets out of fiberglass tubes. So now, yeah, the fiberglass tubes and stuff kind of help, you know, dissipate that heat and stuff. But when that rocket's coming over the top of the cab and those HIMARS, or if you're in a 270, which those things will hold 2 6-packs. So you got, if you do a full blown, you know, double 6-pack mission, you got 12 rockets flying over the top of that cab, and that heat coming out of that rocket, that booster on the back, that it'll cook that.
Billy's like
cab.
A hot pocket in a toaster. He's like, goddamn.
Oh, man, it is rough. And then after, like, immediately after your fire mission, like, stops, like, you shoot off whatever, whether it's a one round or a 6 round or 12 round or whatever, you pop that hatch. Dude, that heat's just like, hello.
Yeah.
How are you today? And it is brutal. Being a launcher chief, dude, when I switched over, popping that hatch, It was just, oh, no. Mm-mm. Didn't like it.
That's why, kids, you should pay attention in school when they say that metal radiates heat, reflects heat, and it's a conductor and it absorbs heat. Pay attention.
Yes.
Because that's a real world application of that.
Yeah.
Science does matter. Who knew?
Nah, in a serious note, when it comes to dealing with the unfortunate temperatures that we have to deal with where we're at, you know, especially even up there in Pennsylvania, you're still hitting what, 90s, low 90s on the high side.
They don't even think it's hitting. I don't even think it's
hitting. It hasn't. 90 I thought Pennsylvania got in the 90s occasionally. I've heard reports of Alaska in the lower part hit 90s before, and I was like, that's pretty insane.
It was 90 degrees in Idaho today.
Dang.
I talked to.
I don't think it's hit 90 up here this year. I don't. The highest I remember seeing was like 87, 88.
Yeah.
Well, I know a big personal thing that I always do, and I guess I can say a hot tip is whatever you got going on outside.
A hot tip is
do what you're ever trying to get done and try to start earlier if possible. I know, like you, Spencer, your line of work, sometimes the job site won't allow you to show up at certain times. But I know when I was working with my dad at a young age and my uncles, because I grew up in the construction business, you know, I got an uncle that owns a roofing company. My other uncle's a subcontractor. He does home remodeling, things like that. And my dad, for the longest time, that's what he did as well. So he had his siding job and his, you know, remodeling job that he did. And he had me on that job site when I was 9 years old. So since I could even, you know, phrase a sentence, that guy had me on the job site. And the one thing we always did was try to start as early as possible. When it was cool, you could be more productive. That way, if it did, by the time it did get to noon, or even worse, 1-2 o'clock at the heat of the day, the job that he wanted at least done for the day got accomplished. Because if we would wait till the typical, you know, 8:30 a.m. start or 9 o'clock start, by the time you set up the job site, get going, shoot, 2 o'clock was there. And now you're working into the 3 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, the 5 o'clock, where you're really dealing with some extreme heat and fatigue. And we try to avoid it as much as possible by doing it in the earlier parts of the day. And then going into the outdoor sense, you know, we kind of talked about this in the hiking episode. You know, the first time I decided to go out and ruck Enchanted Rock, Bob, this is your fault. He had the bright idea. Let's do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because he wanted to, you know, to do it in the hottest part of the day to prove something. And
terrible idea.
I got photos. I made it to the top. Plate carrier, 40 pounds in my back. I made it. But oh my God, dude, it was brutal on that granite dome. But the next time I went, when I took my boys, we got that first booking right at 7 a.m. And it was so much nicer. There was a breeze. It was cool. You know, saw the sun come up. It was really awesome. But yeah. A better enjoyable experience not doing it during the heat of the day.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and Enchanted Rock, the Texas Parks and Wildlife, they actually put out some pictures and videos where they'll take like a temperature gun and they'll point it at the rock on a hot summer day and it'll be north of 150 degrees.
Yep. So the report,
and that's just the temperature coming. That's the temperature of the rock. And you have to imagine if it's that hot and it's also radiating and reflecting heat, then if the outside temperature is over 100 degrees and you're on 150 degree rock and all that rock is reflecting all that heat, it's just going to be way hotter than you anticipate. Yeah.
They told us when we showed up, the park ranger told us that the surface temperature that day was 130.
Yep. Yeah.
And during that, typically,
yeah, it'll get hot enough to melt your shoes if you have the wrong kind of shoes.
Oh yeah, yep. And if you stand long enough and you have a thin layer of shoes like Spencer's toe shoes, you would feel the heat.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, no, they were like, hey guys, you know, I know our temperature says 90. I was thinking it was like 98, 99 degrees that day. It's like, it says 98, but on that rock it's 130 degrees, and I was just like, whoa, this is about to be really fun, boys. And yeah,
yeah.
We barely made it to the top, though. It took us forever to get up to the top.
Yeah. So rock is going to be hot. Concrete's going to be hot. Asphalt is going to be hot. Any kind of stone, like I mentioned, the stone patio that I was working on today, it's going to reflect a lot of heat. Natural grass actually stays cooler typically. But I found that the synthetic turf that a lot of people are going with in their yards, it gets really hot. Yeah.
It's plastic.
I had a customer over in Dallas. Yeah. I had a customer over in Dallas, and the heat reflecting off the glass that we put in actually melted their turf. And I took a temperature gun out there, out in the middle of the yard where there wasn't anything like near it. It was just open turf. And it was at noon on a 95 degree day. That turf was 180 degrees.
Dang.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. And then I went in because in the front yard, they had natural grass. And I went in the front yard and with a temperature gun and shot their natural grass. And it was 86 degrees on a 95 degree day.
Yep.
So for all you people that think natural or think synthetic turf is going to solve all your yard problems, keep that in mind. It gets hot.
Or don't buy
hot enough to melt. Or
don't buy glass fences, magnifying glass.
Yeah, learn that lesson the hard way.
No, I just got to say, because you watch those guys buy those massive magnifying glass to show them actually melt rock and make lava. Yeah, mm-hmm. You just put that sunlight through some glass and it's going to get hot.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one customer, they had a skylight on their roof. And at a certain time of the day, it would reflect on one of these like real expensive, I don't know what kind of plant it was, but apparently it was very, very expensive. And at a certain part of the day, the sun reflected off that thing and hit that plant and literally just cooked it. And just killed the plant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is like probably a $10,000 tree. And they burned it up. They cooked it. It's crazy.
That's insane, man.
Yeah. So heat is no joke. Reflection of heat is no joke.
Yeah. And getting into that, I mean, Spencer, when we were out there in the middle of the open ocean in Port Mansfield, that sun being down on that ocean, it's horrible. So if you're not wearing, eye protection, like polarized lens glasses, wearing some form of headgear to kind of block that, or a hood, because like the 32-degree hoodie that you recommended has the hood attachment to it, trying to protect your skin, because sometimes it's not the sun that's going to get you. It's that sun bouncing off that reflective material, like the water, the glass, is going to be the one that's going to get you the most.
Yeah. And especially if you're outside and you're around water, remember that when it reflects off the water, it's coming up at you. It's not the sun beating down on you. It's coming from the bottom up. So you're going to have to start blocking, your face, get a face shield or something like that. Get some sunglasses, wear sunscreen because, a big sombrero hat might save you from the direct sunlight, but it's not going to save you from the reflections or the reflected heat.
No, sunscreen is probably one of the most important things you should keep on you. And then don't forget, it's not just one application lasts you the entire trip. You need to make sure you apply it periodically because you can still put on one thick layer and before you know it, it's no longer doing what it's meant to do.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Texas and you're at the beach or something, you're in the water every 30 minutes, honestly. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to reapply. Yeah,
especially when you're sweating, because your sweat's just going to remove it.
Yeah. And you're going to sweat.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dude, people make fun of me. I sweat and it's not even hot. Billy's seen it. It'd be like 70 degrees. It looked like I went swimming. I sweat profusely.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it, but it is what it is. I can't control it.
Yeah.
So Billy, I got a question for you. I guess a question for all of us. I've cut my beard now, but I actually prefer to have a long beard in the summer. And everyone always asks me, like, isn't that hot? But do you find the long beard, because yours is getting pretty long now, do you like it better in the summer or do you like to have the shorter beard? Which one do you think feels better in the summer?
Man, honestly, I don't even pay attention to it.
Really?
I don't know. I'm so used to having it at this point, it doesn't really bother me, I guess.
Yeah.
So I just kind of,
I always found,
I really noticed a difference.
I always found that the longer beard felt better in the summer because it shaded a lot of my face. But I don't know if that was a reasoning,
a lot of times when I'm out. And there's different companies that make them. But the one company I go with is SA. Mm-hmm. They have those kind of like the shirt you're wearing and like the Columbia PFG shirts I wear when I go out and fish all the time. It's basically it's that type of material, but it's like a big neck gaiter or face shield or whatever.
Yep. I think they're the ones that actually coined the term face shield. SA.
Yeah. But I have some of those. I don't wear them all the time. I probably should, but I don't. But those, you can put them right up to the bottom of your glasses, go up, cover the back of your neck. You can actually kind of put them up and over the top of your head.
Yep.
And 100%. Still stretch it up under your glasses. That's another good thing to wear. I should probably wear them, even though I don't. Mm-hmm. But
and if you're outside, and if you're already like wet and sweaty, dude, dunk that thing in the cooler and then put it on. Life changing.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Even out at the lake, when I do wear them, I'll reach right over the edge of the kayak and just dunk it right there in the lake and then kind of wring it out a little bit and put it on.
And unfortunately, I can't answer that question, boys, because this is my first summer I'm experiencing with the beard. It's my first time.
Oh, are you growing it out? I thought you were keeping it trimmed.
No, I'm growing it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. I was a baby face for a very long time.
Yeah. Billy looks like a baby face.
Bro, I'm going to post it.
If that baby grew up in that Appalachian Mountains somewhere.
Dude, Billy, now that he said that, I got to go to my laptop and find that picture I told you I had from the trail camera when we were scouting Miss Davis's place. Because, bro, you looked completely different without a beard.
I saw a picture of you without a beard for the first time like 3 days ago. And I was like, who is that guy?
What was it on my Facebook?
No, I think it was something we sent in the group chat.
Oh, no, it was. Yeah, it was the picture of him with the three hogs from the trap.
Yeah.
Because that was the same era of that trail cam photo. But the trail cam photo, yep, there you are. Because you had to, you had to keep it short because of the army. But
I was still in at that point. That's when I shot the blacktail.
That's a big blacktail, dude. I remember when you sent me that picture, I was like, dang, bro.
Oh, yeah. He's mounted just outside in the living room. What a fun hunt that was. Anyway, back to forge to fire.
Forge into baking.
Yeah, I'm so glad that hunting season is not in the summer.
I object, sir. I've sat in the tower in late October and dang near died.
Yeah. Oh, it still gets hot. Like dove season.
Oh.
Yeah, I
September.
I bought like long. Yeah, it's the September.
Hottest time of the year.
September 1st. And I bought like a long sleeve shirt and I was like, oh, it's going to be nice and cool. And I was like, nope, that was stupid. So now I wear kind of a shirt like this, you know, the cooling shirts. And, you know, I have a camo one, but I don't even bother with it anymore for dove.
Yeah. No. Dove season, I never hunted dove. Actually, during the first season, you know, in September, I typically hunt dove in the second season in December. But I got a friend of mine, he's like, eats, sleeps, breathes dove hunting. Like, he loves it more than deer hunting. And that dude will be out there every morning, every hot afternoon. And of course, drinking, which we should probably talk about alcohol consumption when it comes to the heat. But. But you know, he's
hot tip,
right?
Don't
and just baking and shooting doves. But then again, you're having such a grand time, I don't think you really think about it. But yeah, you are out there in the hottest part of the year shooting these little bitty birds.
Yeah,
yeah, and bow season in East Texas,
bow season starting in late September.
Those first couple of weeks or so, it can still be pretty good.
When we talked about that hog hunting episode, the day that Spencer, you know, shot those pigs, it was pretty warm that day. I remember because I was sitting there trying to bow hunt and I was sweating so much, dude. I was like, dude, that scent killer's gone. And first deer to come in, I couldn't even see the deer, but by God, he smelt me. snort wheezed and ran off because I just could not stop sweating. It was so hot.
He might have smelled me sweating 300 yards away. That's probably what brought the pigs in. They're like, hey, something smells awful over here. It must be another pig. Nope, that's just me. Yep.
Like I said, it still gets pretty hot. And gosh, man, this year, even on opening weekend when you came down, it was warm. You know, we were still even
kind of... Oh, this past year? Yeah, that was rough. Yep, November. What was last year? The fifth hottest summer ever on record on planet Earth?
Yep. I think this year is gunning for it. I think it wants to take it.
Yeah, I don't know. It hadn't been terrible up here. I mean, I think we've only had like one or two 100-degree days so far. And last year, we were at like 10 already going into July.
I think what's making it worse right now, even though it's not raining, the humidity is still super high for some reason in Texas right now.
Yep. Yeah. It's all that. It was that tropical storm, tropical depression, whatever, that rolled through the Gulf of Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And like, it didn't produce a ton of rain, but it just like brought in moisture. And I feel like it's just sitting and, you know, like breathing stew.
It is, man. And I was so sad when that storm came in. It was like, oh, San Antonio's about to get smacked. We're going to have, you know, inches, if not a foot of rain. Not a darn thing, dude.
Man, you should have been further west, because when I left Bernie, I got rain all the way up until Waco coming back home. Mm-hmm. Like pretty heavy rain.
I mean, like I said, it rained, but it wasn't anywhere near the amount that they were predicting.
Yeah.
Which we need it. We need it bad.
Yeah. Lake Medina, where are we at now? 2.4%?
It's actually less than that post that I put up a couple of days. It was at 2.67. Yeah. Now it's 2.41.
Yeah. They should rename it Pond Medina.
That's what Billy said. He's like, is that a lake of the past? What is this lake you speak of, sir?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Former.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
The lake formerly known as Medina.
Yep. Well, we all know sometimes, like we talked about earlier, we cannot start the day early. Sometimes, like Spencer, I know when we were working, sometimes we had to run and get materials, so you weren't even actually hitting the job site till lunchtime. So during that
I didn't hit it till 10 o'clock today.
So hitting that heat of the day, besides obviously your cooling towels, trying to find shade when you can't find it, what would be like a good pro tip, or a good pun intended hot tip for the heat of the day having to get the job done?
I mean, if you got to suck it up and just get through it, just make sure you're staying hydrated as much as possible, drinking fluids, but also, you know, don't be afraid to get like, I always keep like those little kind of hand towels, not the ones like that are longer, but the little square towels. I keep tons of those in my truck and I keep them in my gym bag, and I'll just dunk those in a cooler full of ice and just rub down my whole head. And your skin will actually absorb a lot of water.
Yes, it acts like a sponge.
And that's a good way. It's also going to cool off your skin. And that's a good way to kind of help out, is just wet rags. The cooling towels, you know, they're nice because they get your skin wet, especially on the back of your neck. But they're also going to cool it off at the same time. But just, you know, work as much as you can if you need to get something done. But make sure you've got to stop and take breaks at some point. Yep. And what I'll do usually is I'll go, you know, fire up the truck or something and actually get in the air conditioning for a little bit. That allows me to kind of work a little bit longer when I'm really in a bind.
Oh yeah. Work in moderation. You'll still get some job. You'll still get the job done, but you're not gonna get the job done when you're, you know, being admitted to a hospital because you suffer from a heat stroke or, you know, a severe case of heat exhaustion. Because I haven't gotten super bad, but I've gotten so hot that I started, of course, you know, throwing up. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. I got to go.
Yeah. And you would be surprised at how many people are just not sympathetic to that anymore in Texas. Like, you just have to know, we're all adults. You got to know your limits and get the job done, but don't force yourself into the hospital or in a bad situation.
Yep. Because the work's not going anywhere.
Same thing goes if you're out hiking or something.
Oh, dude. When we did that hike in Channer Rock in July, like we were just talking about, I took and this is just being fully transparent, I think I took 4 rest breaks. I did not go straight to the top without stopping.
Yeah.
Now, the next time I went with the kids during that cooler part of the day, I didn't have to stop once. We went straight up to the top. But when it was super hot and you were getting zapped by that sun and zapped by the heat from that rock, oh, yeah, dude, I definitely took a couple of breaks.
Yeah. Yep. Pace yourself. Just find a good pace for you. Work a little bit. Rest.
Yep. There's been times even out fishing on the kayak because, you know, obviously kayaks are kind of that plastic polymer material or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's been times I'll just, like, take the depth finder, depending on what I feel like. I'll either move the depth finder to the other side of the kayak track mounts, or I'll just pull a rod holder, a couple rod holders, and move them. And I'll just roll right off the side and just plop right off in the middle of the water. Yep.
Yeah, if you're around water and you can get in, absolutely do that. I'm a big fan of that.
Because there's been, you know, obviously Jamestown, North Carolina can get hot. We all know Texas can get blistering hot. Mm-hmm. But I'll just be right there, fish, no, you know, bites like dead or like super slow. And then just bloop, right off the side, just flop right in. Yep. Don't even care.
Yeah.
You know, now, obviously I got to, you know, tie the kayak off to the wrist or the leg or something, you know, just so I don't have to sit there and exert more energy to chase it down or whatever. But
yeah,
I'll just flop right off the side and cool off and then climb back in and.
Yeah, and then you can kind of hang on to your kayak and just sit in the water without having to swim and just relax for a little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big fan of that.
Oh, who is it, man? And it's tubing season now.
So I was actually going to bring that up. So we're coming down, I think, August?
September.
I don't know. We're coming down in a couple of months.
Just this September.
We're going to do a float trip. So for those that don't know, floating is just getting on a tube, getting in the river, and floating down the river.
Not drinking?
It's not much more than that. But, yeah, it's a good time. And where we like to float, there is a lot of drinking that happens on that river. Yes. It doesn't mean you have to. It just happens that way.
Got to get the full experience.
But, yeah. But the nice thing about that river is it's spring fed, and it's, what, 70 degrees year-round?
You could be in the heat of the day and jump in that thing and be careful because you might go into shock because how cold it actually is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can instantly get chills from jumping in there on a hot day, but it feels amazing. It does
feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of actually going into shock, there's this doctor I follow on Instagram and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes around and he does seminars and stuff. But I was actually watching something last night, and it's actually funny, you know, that we kind of mention all this. Believe it or not, you can die in 70-degree water.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So, be careful. Oh, yeah.
No, that's the one thing that I don't want to get too much into first aid, because that's a whole long topic when it comes to dealing with heat cases and heat casualties. But the one thing you don't want to do is immediately take someone who is suffering from a heat case and immediately admit them into very extreme cool temperatures, because you could put them into shock potentially. Now,
and their body's already fatigued and it can't handle it.
Get them in the shade, keep them cognizant, because some people do black out, aka my dad. But
I did.
Unblouse the boots. Undo the long sleeves.
Do what to the boots?
Take them off.
No, I want to hear him say it.
Blouse.
Oh, yeah.
Blouse your boots. Untie your boots, Luke. Get 50 boots
shades
off.
Of
them
filth.
Get them off.
There you go.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
But no, he's absolutely correct, guys, because the areas that your body is going to release heat is going to be your feet, your hands, the top of your head. And I'm missing one of them. So help me out, guys. I'm missing one of them.
Your no-no zone, your
no-no square,
your private areas. It's amazing how much heat they can retain. And then if you have an opportunity, like if you're wearing gym shorts or something, you're outside, you're probably gonna be wearing some kind of athletic shorts. get some air movement in there, it can really help cool you off.
Okay, I get.
It's also going to help with the chafing issue.
Oh my god, dude! My family, and they're going to hear this. They nicknamed Swamp Butt JJ's butt when I was a kid because, dude, I suffer from that almost every summer day. I chafe so quick and so easy. I had to keep the, you know, the powder handy because it didn't matter what, dude. I always got it bad.
Yep. The powder's nice. Honestly, what I started using, and I actually just learned this in a pinch, but I always kept spray deodorant on me just because it's quick. I'm always sweaty and stinky, and I can just give myself a little spray and not have to sit in my own stink. But spraying that on the undercarriage, the deodorant actually kind of acts as acts as that powder.
Yeah.
But it's just an aerosol form. And
gold bond, dude.
And so that's something I do a lot.
But see, I
especially if I'm like feel like I'm starting to chafe, I'll just grab that little spray deodorant and give myself a little spritz. Helps with the smell and the chafe. It's a win-win.
Yeah, the one I don't recommend using is the gel form deodorant when doing that, because that gel form does not act as like I could say like prevent friction.
It's also just deodorant. It's not antiperspirant. Yeah. And I think it's that white, chalky antiperspirant that kind of gives it that protection. Yep.
Let's say it works, man. It almost like putting wax on a surfboard. It allows your skin from your legs to go back and forth without causing friction. So I coat the inside of my thighs when I go out hiking or working because I will chafe every time. And it hurts.
I know it's not a pleasant subject, but it is a very real
thing. Oh, it's so real, and dude. And it hurts. Like, I've gotten it so bad, it bled. Like, it... Terrible.
And it lasts. And once you get it, it can last for days. Yep. Yeah. It's awful.
I'm over here having flashbacks. Oh God, the trauma.
James's favorite part of summer.
Oh dude. And full transparency, everyone that knows me, I hate the heat. I love Texas, but by God, I hate the heat. You can put me somewhere super cold, you can always get warmer. You put me somewhere super hot, you can only take off so many layers before you're just SOL. Africa was one of those cases. I got to get the permission from everyone in the photo to allow me to post it. But I literally have pictures of us in Africa straight up in our underwear because it was just so stinking hot.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And you can't do that if you're going to be in direct sun. Because it's just going to make it worse. Then you're going to get sunburn in places you don't want to get sunburned.
So what we did is we took two AAVs, amphibious assault vehicles. Y'all can Google them. Put them side by side. And we took our cami netting and took it over the top and made our own little hut just to stay in the shade. And the trick that we were talking about during the camping episode, you know, taking your water canteen, putting it into a sock, and then pouring water all over that sock to help drop the temperature of the water so you weren't drinking super hot water. Because if you didn't do that, the water in Africa, dude, it was 80, 90 degree water, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
But if you're already cooking, hot water does not taste good at all.
No, but, you know, speaking of water, you know, kind of spraying yourself, the misting fans, they're such a lifesaver. Misting systems in general. If you're looking for, if you want to cool down your patio, if you're you want to grill in the summer or something, those misting fans or like misting systems can really come in handy. Just be careful if you are going to put it around your patio that you're not going to get, it can get really wet because it's spraying water. So just be careful around, you know, if you're grilling something, you don't want to get stuff wet, you know, electronics, power, just be aware of that. But man, it could really, really cut down that heat.
Yo, did you see the guy that took his patio chair and created the misting system out of PVC pipe in his garden hose?
Dude, no.
He literally put a small inch in diameter PVC pipe up on top, drilled little bitty holes across it, put them down the sides, and he turned it on. He took the water hose attached from the back. So when the water hit it, it just sprayed everywhere. He's sitting there in his little chair in the summer. He's like, that's how you stay cool in the summer. I'm like, dude, that's pretty ingenious.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
One last thing I wanted to bring up, just because like many people, my job is outside. There's not much getting around that. So I have to be outside. And so one of the things I'll do to help deal with that is I actually train for it. And so I will go, and I'm a big sauna person. Excuse me. So I'll go and sit in the sauna for 20, 30 minutes. And it's, you know, 150 degrees plus in there. And I'll just basically force myself to learn to deal with the heat. But then I also will force myself to deal with like sudden super cold. So I'll go straight from the sauna and then I'll go hop in a cold, cold shower just to help train my body to deal with the crazy temperature swings. Just because as someone who has to work outside, I just, training for it makes it easier when I don't need it to be like when I have to deal with it. Being trained for it, just like anything else, just makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. It makes you, and no pun intended, makes you last longer. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't really think any amount of training conditioning can prepare you for some of the temperatures that you could potentially face when working outside or in certain situations, like we talked about with Matt, you know, working in the oil field. Because some of those temperatures year round are nowhere near what the sun could even produce on Earth. I know it produces a lot more if you're closer to the sun, but here on Earth.
Yeah, true. But someone from Texas is probably going to be able to handle extreme heat more so than like a Canadian, because we're kind of conditioned to it. And so I just kind of force myself to condition myself into it.
Be nice, Spencer.
So it's a little bit easier of a transition.
What's that? Nice, Spencer. We're better than them. We love you, Canada. Man,
they can handle the cold better than I can. So
Letterkenny is the best show ever. So we love you. But no, he's right. He's right, guys. You can condition yourself. But just like when we talk about fitness, it's everybody's different. So figure out what works for you. And as you said before, know your limitations. Don't overdo it. Because some people, unfortunately, which Billy knows this from being in the military, some people are just, they can come a heat case in the most mediocre temperatures outside. It doesn't have to be 100 degrees to become a heat case. You know, like he was saying with the whole 70 degree water and people, you know, essentially going in a shock from getting into it. It doesn't matter. Just know your limitations. Don't overdo it. And like we said earlier, if you're already starting to get dizzy, feeling cramps, because those are the first signs you're going to start seeing for becoming a heat casualty.
If you stop sweating.
Stop sweating, things like that.
If you start to feel cold.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a little too late there, bud. You might just want to be like, call the ambulance. Because if you start feeling cold, it's over 100 degrees outside, there's a problem. A big problem.
Yeah. Big problem.
Yep. You're already cooking. So.
But it happens. I see it all the time on job sites. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And
people just don't know.
Well,
they're like, oh, it's starting to cool off. It's like, nope, you're about to pass out.
No. And that's something that I said we should talk about. And we actually did it because we got off on our spill, but alcohol consumption, most cases that I've seen, and I know, y'all have too. A lot of your blue collar guys, they love to go out the night after a long day at work and get some drinks, but they forget to rehydrate. And then they'll go to the job site, not hydrated because they just drank a six pack, or in some cases, I've seen guys drink a whole bottle a night and think they're gonna be fine the next day. And the next thing they know, they're like what Spencer's saying, you know, it's feeling cool outside, boys. And in reality, they're about to go down. Alcohol is the worst out of anything to drink if you're actually working out in the heat.
Yep. Well, with that said, I think I'm going to, I still haven't showered yet, so I think I'm going to go get a shower and then grab a cold beer.
A beer?
Because it's Friday and I still have to work tomorrow, but I want that cold carbonated beverage.
Gosh, what losers are we? We're doing this on our Friday night.
We're not losers. We're passionate.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. We're just old people.
Like that.
There you go.
Except Billy. He hasn't hit Billy yet.
Yeah, right. He's still a youngster. Well, youngster, you got any closing thoughts, any hot tips, concerns, opinions? You look like you're about to fall asleep.
It's been a long day. Yeah. Hunting license sales started up here, so it's just been an oh-so-wonderful blast.
There you go.
Stay hydrated. Don't go chugging, like, very, very cold water when it's boiling hot. Wear a hat that's going to keep you protected. Wear the face shields. Wear the cooling clothes. And pretty much everything that we've covered in here. Hello, Senor yes. James.
Finally joined the club with the straw hat, and this thing came in clutch in Port Aransas on Sunday because it was.
Is that an SA hat or is that the Walmart?
No, this is the Texan. For y'all don't know what the Texan is, y'all have heard of the Glorious Buckies. They're trying to start competing with them. They're like mini Buckies, as a lot of people like to call them. But no, this thing is awesome. It is a high tide, and it's made in Billy's favorite country, China. But hey, $15 at the gas station.
No. Yeah. Not my favorite. I think we all rock a straw hat, right?
I do now.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the straw hat. Actually, here's a hot tip. Here's my closing hot tip. I take my straw hat and I have a set of leather punches, and I'll actually punch out extra holes at the top to help get some of that heat out from the top of my head. Because while they do breathe somewhat, you know, when you're out in the heat, you want as much heat to get out as you can. So I actually punch extra holes in mine.
Now, guys, if you're in the military, don't drill holes through your Kevlar. You might get in trouble.
Yeah. I also wouldn't do that with my cowboy hat.
Just so you know, Spencer, some hat manufacturers for years actually put those in the cowboy hats for the exact same reason. To allow airflow out of them, especially if you're wearing like
I have one like that. I have a good summer straw hat with a bunch of holes in it, but I wouldn't go and add more. I only do that on my bamboo straw hats. I don't know if they're bamboo, whatever they're made out of. I'm not doing it to my cowboy hats.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of these hats now, and I ain't gonna throw any brands on the bus. A lot of that stuff's plastic now. It's not actual straw.
Which actually there's a good thing to consider because the plastic is going to get hotter than actual bamboo or straw.
Yep.
So pay attention to that.
Yeah.
James, any closing hot tips, thoughts, concerns?
I want to say concerns. But unfortunately, if you are in like Spencer's situation where your profession has you outside constantly, and everything like that is, once again, know your limitations. I'm going to say it 1,000 times because everyone's different. So there's not a one blanketing statement. Just know your limitations. And if, unfortunately, if you can't work during the heat of the day, like I said, start early. And then if you find yourself where things are starting to get a little dizzy, just go get some shade, call it a day, hit the job again tomorrow. Don't sit there and try to think you have to get it done today.
Yep. Even if you have to get it done today, you're not going to get it done if you end up in the hospital.
Or dead, because that's unfortunately a potential outcome if you go into heat stroke. Yep. You might not make it.
It happens every year.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I got one more hot tip because I'm looking at my face in the video and it's super red, especially like over my eyebrows and under my eyes, kind of on my cheekbones. So at the end of the day, when you're hot and sweaty, like I was dripping in sweat all day, get a cold, wet rag, wipe down your face and your head and as much of your body as you can. And if you don't want to look old when you're not old, or if you don't want to look really old when you are old, I don't care, woman, dude, whatever, non-binary, whatever you call yourself. Put on some lotion. Yeah. Put on some lotion like as soon as you can, because I didn't and my face is just like beet red. But I came in the other day and I wiped, you know, before I even got in the truck, it was, you know, running, cooling off. I wiped off my head with a cool towel and then I actually keep a little thing of Dove men's lotion and put that on my face. And by the time I got home, you know, it didn't burn anymore. It wasn't red, and it just helps. And I won't look super old when I get older. So prevent the sun damage. Also, I wish I had done this today. Sorry. We'll end this thing eventually.
Notice he's passing keep by people. An extra, this was his idea.
Yeah, right. Keep an extra set of clothes in your truck. And if you can change, if like, you know, I was dripping with sweat, my shirt is still wet. If you can change, that's really going to make your drive a lot easier. So for me, I'm driving right now about an hour and a half each way to get to the job site. And that was a rough, miserable drive with just sitting in soaking wet clothes.
So people, if you want to know how you get swamp rear, that's how you get it.
Yeah. A lot of times the drive home is, that's the killer.
Yep. Especially if you have leather interior like you have, my friend. It makes it worse compared to cloth. Cloth absorbs a lot of that sweat, but it still doesn't quite help. But by God, that leather, make sure it goes all in your skin.
Oh, that's why one of the first things I bought was seat covers that weren't leather. One, it's going to protect my leather, but two, it's not going to get super hot in the summer.
Oh, no. That's why you got even bougier there, Spencer, with your cooling seats, which came in handy when we were working together.
Oh, yeah. I do love my air conditioned seats.
So there's Spencer's last hot tip.
That may have been part of the reason.
Buy a truck with cooling seats, or AKA ventilated seats.
Yeah. You know what I wish?
I got one.
I wish truck manufacturers would bring back the ball vent. Remember back like in the 80s, it was a thing. There was a vent right under the steering wheel. Blue ride. Oh man, that was, bring that back.
You didn't.
They actually have little things on Amazon that you can put over one of your vents, and it's got like a little hose.
Yes. I was going to say that. Did y'all see that on the videos?
Dude, I'm tempted to buy
one. It really directs your AC to your, in Spencer's words, your no-no areas or your nether regions to keep them cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to buy one just to see if it's worth it.
Do it.
I think they're pretty cheap. They're like review. 10, 15 bucks.
Hey, guys, you want to see them do it? Get them to say in the comment section. Just tell them to do it. We'll do a review on
right?
it.
Yeah. But car manufacturers, bring back the ball vent.
Yep.
And probably come up with a better name for it.
Nah. Keep it.
All right. Well, we went a little bit over this time, but you know, we had a lot of good pertinent information, and it's, you know, June 28th. So it's getting hot.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll post this pretty soon, probably right before July 4th. So
yeah,
hopefully people can use this to help stay cool when they're outside watching the fireworks.
Yep.
Forged in fire.
There you go. Or into the fire. You keep saying forged in fire. We're going to have to change the name.
Why do you think I kept saying or baked in the fire or death by
or
fire
or baked in the fire?
Well, no.
Or swamp ass by fire.
Hey, forged in fire just sounds cool, okay? I know it's a TV show, but it just sounds cool.
What's that?
Forged/into the fire.
Forged in
or
fire.
Or Reign of Fire, one of the greatest movies of all time. Matthew McConaughey looked like a G in that movie. And it had Christian Bale. Best cast ever.
Okay, if you want to see more episodes like this, make sure you tune in to Get Out.
There you go.
Quick closing. It's the only way it was going to happen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see y'all guys later. We got to get out of here.
Vince, I'm going to bed. See ya.